I very much enjoyed the story of Angel Gabriel's visit to Zechariah that we read last week, where the angel spoke of how this miracle child will turn the people to righteousness. And after expressing doubt, Zechariah is then struck silent, as you all know. Elizabeth, indeed, is pregnant, as the story goes on. And when she has the baby, her people rejoice with her. They ask her then, what will the child's name be? And she says John, according to what the angel told her. And they said, why John? Because you have no relative who has this name. They would customarily name the baby Zechariah after his father. But so then they ask Zechariah about this. What is the baby's name? But Zechariah still couldn't talk. So he wrote the word John on a piece of paper. And at this very moment was when his voice came back to him. And this is what he said. This is what happened. Luke 1, verses 67 through 80. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation," or a savior, "for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Way to pressure a baby, Zechariah. It's a lot to live up to. He's got to be part of bringing salvation to the people, bring safety, fearless service. He's got to be righteous and holy and teach the people and experience the mercy of God and be strong in spirit and appear publicly. Let him learn how to roll over first. But all jokes aside, though, I do think some parents unduly pressure their children. Hey, when you cast a vision for your child, or for yourself, or for your friend, for the world, you help others, or you help yourself to envision the possibilities. Okay, you don't rigidly force something, but you encourage, and you speak power, and affirm, and you tell stories, and you show them what is possible. And so that's a spiritual practice, speaking power into people's lives. If you can speak it, you can see it. You're more likely to be able to be it. We all know the power of language and how God spoke even this world itself into being. And so our words over ourselves and over others matter. So Zechariah speaks words over his child, prophesying like Mary had in her Magnificat only a few verses earlier. So he follows in her footsteps. He joins a whole cloud of witnesses speaking power over his people. It's not just about his son, but the people of God and God himself. Zechariah hasn't spoken in months. He's had time to weigh his words and to figure out what he needs to say. And this is what he comes up with. So he had time to prepare. In his quietness, he had time to listen to God and tarry before God in prayer and quietness. And so he spoke this power over his son. There's always been this baby book of mine around the house growing up. And it was supposed to be my baby book, right? It had my name written in it. And it was kind of like a quilted with a, like yellow ducks on it. And I always liked it. I had a bit of affection for it. So my name was written in it. And there were some, a few pictures in like one of the pockets. But otherwise, it was completely blank. And I think parenting is hard for some of us in the first years and in the other years too. So I totally get how the baby book was left empty. And I also think it feels really permanent to like write something in this type of book. So it can be a little intimidating, like when I'm really inspired, I'm gonna just like write the right thing. And so no judgment to my parents or anything, or any parents who didn't do a baby book. Doesn't matter. But I was still inspired because I was always like, I always liked that baby book. And so when I had kids, I got some baby books. And this is how they work, I guess. I go like weeks, I go months usually without writing anything or putting in any pictures. And then bam, all of a sudden I'm like obsessed with the baby book and I have to like put in a million things in it. And I'm really probably supposed to be doing something else. So there's like a procrastination thing and I'm gluing like pictures in the book and writing memories that probably only mean something to me. But my daughter actually does like love looking at the book. When she's older, I think she'll look at it too. But anyway, one of the things I did with it for each of my kids was I wrote a blessing in the cover pages. And so I wrote wholeness and power and faith into their lives. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just words on a page. But I like to think it's maybe like a permanent on the pages of their lives. I asked some other family members to write blessings in the books too. Their dad wrote some beautiful words. But it was like I had to really kind of coax people and convince them. And they felt pressured when I would ask them to write like a blessing in the book. And they say, maybe they felt intimidated. I have to think about it. That was what everybody said. I have to think of the right word. And so maybe it was an unfair thing to expect them to just like pick up and write something. Maybe like I do these kinds of things more in my life, maybe praying and writing. And visioning. But I told them, you know, it can be simple words, just love, just write love on the pages. So maybe I can get some more people that have been procrastinating too. Maybe it's hard for us to feel like we have the authority to speak blessings over each other, but we do. Why, if we all spoke blessings over each other and not just our family members, if we spoke these things into our lives, how might we grow in spirit and light? And so I'm inspired by Zechariah to speak words of power over children and friends and speak strength of faith into our siblings and even into strangers. This is what Christmas offers us. A reminder to nurture the child within each of us and the vulnerable among us. To teach them to dream young and to give them space to grow into their purpose. To know people all mixed with power and helplessness. And so may we be inspired by the courage of those who came before, those who have sat in the silence of the Spirit for months and found the glory of God in the midst of mystery. At Christmas time, we practice hoping for a new, fresh presence of God. And we practice the art of remembering this ancient story. And we practice remembering love. And we practice making these traditions new and passing them down to others. Even in our baby Bible school that we do here, I just have the privilege of trying to convey the story for maybe the first time in some of these children's lives. And I don't know how much they absorb, but I do get to at least see it in my daughter, see her making sense of baby Jesus and wondering what a life of talking about Jesus and learning his stories might do for her. So I get to experience the story through children's eyes a little bit. It's not quite coherent for the toddlers, but we're working on it. I got a baby who is going to have his first Christmas soon. And I got another who's going to have her third Christmas. My kids are growing. Already they are. And I want them to hurry up. And I'm afraid also that I'm missing or not appreciating them as much. And so I also try to practice remembering them. I try to practice remembering my pregnancy in the hospital and what it was like when Naomi was 1 year old or Jacoby's first days. And so around Christmas, again, we're reminded to practice sitting in our love, sitting in love with God and these stories of God. So this is what happens at Christmas. We invoke love and care for one another. We slow down and retell the story. We sit in the dark sparkle of it. We look forwards and backwards all at once. Like Zechariah looking back at the ancestors and the covenant, and forwards at all the work that John will do. Standing in the threshold of the present moment, thinking of the past and the future and how they come together in the baby John the Baptist. And so we too stand here in the threshold, in this sacred space between the past and the present, with the world moving too fast and so slow around us, whirling through the galaxy of a starry night and landing at the breast of a peasant woman. And so we want the Lord to guide our feet on the path of peace. What courage of Mary and Zechariah and Elizabeth and John encountering this unknown world with great responsibility, but with the assurance of God around them. John the Baptist didn't live small. He didn't cower before the glory of Christ, even as he said, "I'm not fit to tie the sandals." He wasn't intimidated. And maybe we didn't all have a Zechariah or somebody to prophesy such power into our lives, but we all do have available to us in our lives, Christ. And these things he named are for God's people: salvation through forgiveness, tender mercy that will shine on us, redemption, and so much more. And so the promises of Zechariah and the salvation of Christ are not just available to John or the people back then. Yes, they are available to us, but not even only us. And when we experience God's mercy, we are compelled to seek a path of peace. We are called to serve God and not just ourselves, to serve God in holiness and righteousness. Will you go before the Lord and prepare a way? Even Jesus didn't come into the world alone. John came before him, a whole cloud of witnesses came before, and a bunch of folks, maybe not even knowing why, showed up at his birth. And those who came before him, remember that in the beginning of Matthew, they give a list of all this lineage, and you say, what is all this? Connected to our ancestry, that matters. But John was one of the immediate preparers who went ahead of him and spoke of him, who baptized people into the life of believers, and who spoke of repentance and how we can be forgiven if we are remorseful and acknowledge our failings. And he called out hypocrisy and asked people to change their lives, not just their hearts or their words, but their actions. And he spoke about the power of God. He told people there would be serious consequences for their actions. He said we have to share everything we have, to take and use only what we need, to tell the truth, to treat everyone fairly, to be content with what we have. All this, and this is just the beginning. This is just how we prepare the way. John baptized Jesus, and John served time in prison for his preaching. It's worth it, though, because it's the path for freedom. Greed, selfishness, hypocrisy is prison. In Christ, we find freedom. And so I think again of my blank baby book. And even if my book was blank, I have been given this privilege of filling it up. I get to write my own story. I don't write it alone, but we write it together. This is what it is like with God. God gives us these books, these bodies, these structures to work with, and we fill ourselves up, we fill each other up. And you can choose to fill yourself with ancient stories and new revelations. You can be bound with the blessings of your beloved community. You can erase, revise, edit your story with repentance, forgiveness, transformation, and service. You can join your story up with the story of Jesus as you learn from his life and the whole body of ancient literature and the breathing, living, sacred presence. The Christmas is all around, in your story and stories that transcend time. Just imagine these possibilities becoming promises and present. And what might happen when we could serve God fearlessly, grow, and become strong in spirit.